MG has a piece of advice. Never operate heavy machinery while listening to the Rush Hour Catch-Up podcast. For the right advice and over 90,000 products, head to Kennard Tire, kennards.com.au.
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this. This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Liam Flanagan here, and tonight we have got to talk about the world's richest race on turf, the Everest, and the ongoing drama involving the Sydney Opera House. And joining me in studio to talk about that and more is Abby Jelmy, part of Channel 7's cricket and racing coverage. Good evening, Abby.
Hey, Liam, how you doing?
I'm very well. Are you excited about this Everest drama that's ongoing?
It is a drama. I'm excited for the race more than anything. I think that $13 million just gets people excited, and I think it'll be enormous. I was actually lucky enough to be standing next to the connections of Redzel last year, wearing a red dress
the
when their lives changed.
The winner of 2017
exactly.
Everest.
People congratulating me like I'd won hundreds of thousands of dollars, which absolutely wasn't the case. But no, I think it'll be enormous. What happens tonight? We still don't know.
They're saying it might not happen. We still don't know. Apparently, the barrier draw was meant to go on the Opera House sales at 8 p.m. It's been adjusted because of a planned protest. We will keep you posted on when the barrier draw will happen. We are going to speak to Jared Middleton from TAB just to get the financial implications of this saga involving the Sydney Opera House very shortly. 6:15, Jake Trbojevic will join us. He's currently in Auckland ahead of the test against the Kiwis this Saturday. We'll get his thoughts on the ongoing uncertainty around the Manly coaching job. Nick Kyrgios, he's up to his old tricks.
You love him.
I do. I'm a fan, but he's tanked another game. We've got the audio just after 6:30, but next, the Everest barrier draw is done, but betting on the race has been suspended until tonight's unveiling on the Opera House sales. We'll find out exactly what's in store next with our man Jared Middleton from TAB. They're part of the problem, actually.
We love our friends at TAB, but they didn't want the logo
on the Opera House sales.
Well, when you're a naming rights sponsor, it's tough.
I get it. We'll talk to him next. It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Liam Flanagan here, joined by Abby Jelmy from Channel 7. The Kangaroos have landed in New Zealand ahead of their test match against the Kiwis this Saturday. Jake Trbojevic is going to join us in about 10 minutes, but first,
trending now.
The world's richest race on turf, Abby. This all kicked off last Friday when Alan Jones, speaking to the boss of the Sydney Opera House, Louise Herron, had a go at her about not being prepared to broadcast the barrier draw on the Sydney Opera House. And now we are where we are, that it's meant to be happening at 8 o'clock tonight. Betting has been suspended on the race, and now we're finding out that the time is being adjusted because of a planned protest from people who don't want to see it on the sales.
If you're in the camp of any publicity is good publicity, they have absolutely nailed it with this event. But it all basically started with Racing New South Wales saying, we would love to have sales hang from the Harbour Bridge for each of the runners as we reveal the barriers for each of the horse that's going to be in
which
the
is
Everest.
A great idea.
Which is a great idea. They said, nah, we've never done that before, you can't.
But that's the state government saying that.
Yeah, they've said. But they've then gone, you know, what you can do is project it onto the Opera House. There's precedent. We've done it before. We can do this. And Racing New South Wales have gone, wonderful. It's the TAB Everest. And then all of a sudden it's become about commercial rights and different things. We blow out to today where all of a sudden it's on back pages, front pages, every pages of the newspaper, and people are starting to go, hang on, what is a barrier draw that aren't involved in horse racing? But it's a huge deal, and I personally can't wait for the race, but I can't wait to see actually what happens tonight.
Well, we all want to know where the horses are going to be jumping from, so we're bringing this man from TAB, Jared Middleton, who I said before the song, you're part of the problem. I didn't mean that TAB's a terrible organiser. What I meant, though, is that your logo and your company is part of the reason that the Opera House, I guess, didn't want it portrayed on the sales.
Yeah, great to be with you, by the way, Liam and Abby.
Welcome, Jess.
Yeah, no, great to be here indeed. Well, my understanding is our logo as such wasn't going to be on the Opera House. It was just the Everest logo itself, and the compromise is the trophy will be displayed on the Opera House. So it wasn't even the Everest race logo that was going to be on the house. So there was all sorts of, obviously, disagreement in regard to all that. TAB wasn't a part of that negotiation. Sure, we sponsored the race, but we weren't part of that negotiation.
And if you haven't seen the Everest trophy, it's very beautiful. It's all diamond and gorgeous and everything else. So it'll be pretty.
So let's look at the race now. Has the barrier draw been done?
The barrier draw has been conducted by Racing New South Wales stewards earlier today. After that, It's kept in confidence by the stewards, and just to prevent any sort of integrity risk, it has been concealed until, and therefore markets close. So they've sent a notice out to all wagering operators to close their market on the race until the barriers are displayed at the barrier draw tonight, which is the event tonight where the numbers of the barriers and the colours of the horses will be beamed onto the sails of this Sydney Opera House.
So let me get this straight. If I'm a punter at the moment, I cannot put a bet on the Everest. And if I am a owner, connection, trainer, I don't know at what time the barrier draw is going to occur, because there's stories everywhere saying that the time's being changed for protests. What's going on?
Yeah, that is correct. People don't know what barrier the horses have drawn at this stage until they are beamed at the event tonight onto the sails of the Sydney Opera House.
But surely, so is Chris Lees just camping with who's got three runners? Is he just outside the Opera House at the moment being like, get me some popcorn, when is this happening?
Well, let's face it, I mean, trainers, they've got so many horses to look after. Usually barrier draws are done on a Wednesday, actually. So, look, I don't think they'd be losing too much sleep. Sure, they'd want to know, but it's not really going to impact their week if it's, if the barrier draws a couple of hours later than they originally thought.
Yeah. So the first time the jockeys and trainers will find out is when their horse and their colours goes up on the sails of the Sydney Opera House, whether it's in 45 minutes or an hour and 45 minutes. We're still not sure exactly what time that will happen because of this planned protest. What time will your markets close today?
Midday, as ordered by Racing New South Wales stewards, and then they will send a notice to the wagering operators as to when we can resume betting on the race, which will be after all the numbers are revealed tonight at the Opera House.
So at that point, how much money have you got sitting on? How much money is being gambled on this race?
Well, to give you an idea of how popular this race is, we're holding double the amount, more than double actually, than we are on our Melbourne Cup futures market.
Wow.
That's how big this race has become in such a short space of time. Sure, yes, the Melbourne Cup's a bit later, but, you know, to think 2 years ago before this race existed that we would now have a race which, from a wagering perspective, is holding more on the Melbourne Cup at this point in time. Sure, on the day, the Melbourne Cup the Melbourne Cup's still the jewel in the crown as far as wagering is concerned. Yep. There's no doubt about that. But the interest in this race in such a short space of time is reflected in the wagering figures.
And it really appeals to punters because there's 12 runners, not 24. So it feels like less of a lottery than the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, I mean, that's being, you know, a new punter, I guess.
Someone
yourself,
who enjoys
maybe
a bit of a dabble. Don't
we encourage everyone to gamble responsibly.
To look at 12 horses instead of 24, it's just a bit easier, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I'm a bit swayed towards Trapeze Artist, given the story with Bert Vieira and Gay and leading up to this. I think that it would be an enormous story if he gets up.
Yeah, very true.
Well, you're going with Trapeze Artist. Jared, who's your tip for the race on Saturday?
Well, the tab slot is held in Her Time, trained by Chris Lees. Corey Brown will be riding, the current Melbourne Cup winning jockey. It's a $9 chance. It was before the market was suspended earlier today, of course, and had a beautiful run first up in the Premier Stakes a couple of weeks ago. Second up, she will be primed to go. But before we suspended the market today, $7 the field. So your favourites, three of them sitting at $7, which just makes for an outstanding race on Saturday. So if you like a horse in this race, stick with it, because you're getting great value with Tab.
Can I be cheeky and ask you to take your Tab hat off and say who do you think's going to win rather than In Her Time?
Look, if it wasn't In Her Time, petrified of the Anthony Friedman run at Santa Ana Lane and Scholes.
Yep.
Absolutely petrified. And also Vega Magic as well,
which
ran second in the race last year. But I've just got a feeling that those two Anthony Friedman runners are absolutely primed for Saturday.
All right, Jared from Middleton from the Tab. Are you heading down to the Opera House for the barrier draw?
Straight after this.
Good luck. You know there's a planned protest.
He's dressed up as the Opera House for the occasion. That's quite impressive, Jared.
Won't know who I am.
Jared Milton from Tab, we appreciate your time. Best of luck. Good luck at the protest, mate.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be here. I'll be fine. I've got a helmet.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9, Triple M still to come. Nick Kyrgios up to his old tricks. He's been tanking at the Shanghai Masters. We've got the audio from that match. As he walked off the court, Abby, just straight onto his phone. Abby Jelmy from Channel 7 in studio this evening. Now, Abby, you are taking on the Rush Hour with MG's Black Book Challenge, which basically means you have to find the biggest name you've got in your contacts list. And I happen to know that you're related to a pretty big name who I assume you might be getting on the phone for us later on?
I wish I'd been a better granddaughter in the past few weeks that I could bust this out. But as you alluded to, my grandpa's Herb Elliott, who was a handy runner in his time.
Arguably the greatest middle distance runner of his era, gold medal in Rome.
Yeah, bit of a rock star, really. But I've been terrible because I've been running around doing that much sport in the past couple of weeks that I haven't been in touch. So I don't want to be that granddaughter that goes, "Hi, Pa. Oh, yeah, by the way, this is on air. How are you?" Huge on media either, Pa. Well, I don't know if I'll give him a buzz.
Puts pressure on whoever you do deliver a bit later on the show. Man who was in Papua New Guinea just last weekend, Abby. He's over in Auckland at the moment with the team. Jake Trbojevic joins us on the line now. Jake, how does Auckland, the calm streets of Auckland, compare to Port Moresby last weekend?
They're a little bit more calm, obviously, over there. They love their footy, you know. Everyone, you know, really enjoyed us going over there, and it was a pretty surreal experience, you know, seeing how much they love it.
Now, while it wasn't televised, was there a bit of an invasion or something that happened?
Yeah, there was. About 20 minutes in, I think we just scored, and we're walking back to get the kickoff, and a few people ran on the field, and then once a few ran on, everyone ran on, so everyone was on the field, and that stopped the game for, you know, 10 minutes or so to get everyone off. But they're all harmless, you know. They just wanted to run on and sort of shake your hand and that sort of thing. So it was pretty cool in the end.
I heard reports of selfies being requested for. Jake, did you pose for any on field?
At first, I was getting out of there. I got a bit scared and ran off. But by the end of it, everyone was taking selfies and shaking everyone's hand.
So what's more intense, of course, playing in PNG, playing for your country, or playing at Suncorp in Origin? Well, let's be honest, they just want your blood.
Playing up there at Suncorp during Origin time is always tough. You know, they get a great crowd there. And as you said, they do want your blood. You know, Queensland always put in a great performance over there. But it's pretty surreal going over to PNG, you know. All the people there just absolutely love it, you know. All the little kids, all they want to do is just, you know, say hello, that sort of thing, get your jersey. And, yeah, it's a pretty surreal experience. And, you know, something you always look back on with great memories.
Jake, you're an incumbent of this Kangaroos side. It's a very different-looking national team with the absence of Cameron Smith, Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk, JT. How is the group gelling together?
Yeah, no, it's going really well. Obviously, as you said, there's a lot of new guys there, a lot of young guys, but guys that have been playing some, you know, really good footy and really deserve to be there. So it's exciting, you know. It's exciting for our country and, you know, everyone who supports us. And everyone's really looking forward to the couple of tests coming up against New Zealand and Tonga. And hopefully we can all put in a really good performance and hopefully win both games.
Now, Jake, it's particularly exciting for your family because, as we understand, the Trbojevic clan have all headed over New Zealand because finally yourself and Tom might be playing in the Aussie jersey together. As we know, you both got the call-up last year, but there was injuries and different things in the way. Have you put him in bubble wrap and said, "Mate, don't touch that jaw. We just need this to happen so Mum and Dad are happy"?
Yeah, obviously it'd be really nice. It was really disappointing, you know, last year during the World Cup. Saw my peck in the first game, so we didn't get to play together for Australia. But really hoping we get our opportunity during these couple of games. And our parents are really excited. You know, they're really obviously really proud of us. And you know, if we both get in the first, you know, in the side for the first game, they'll be straight over here. So it's exciting times, and hoping we'll both be a part of it.
I love the humility of this bloke, Abby, because he's saying if we get picked, you'd reckon that the performances of the Trbojevic brothers throughout the regular season and in Origin, they'd be absolute morals to be named in that game against the Kiwis. Just looking ahead, Jake, and obviously you wouldn't be looking ahead as a group, but looking ahead, that test match, the upcoming test match against Tonga, it's really got the whole rugby league community excited because of the strength of this Tongan side and the development of the international football in the Pacific that we've seen over the past 12 months.
Yeah, it does, you know. It's really exciting. As you said, they've really developed as a nation. I think in the World Cup, they showed everyone how much of a powerhouse they really are. And I think, you know, since then, they've even got stronger. You know, they've got some real quality players there. And I think everyone's really got behind it. I think it's a sellout already, you know, Mount Smart. So it should make for a really good atmosphere. And hopefully it can be, you know, a really good event that, I guess, happens for a long time.
Now, bringing it back to Clubland a little bit, Jake. Now, your brother Tom came out during the week and said, you know, we as a brother duo aren't going anywhere from the club. We're going to stick through this. Do you often let Tom speak for you?
I think he just had media yesterday, and then I sort of asked him about it. So, we speak for each other. No dramas there, yeah.
How much are you monitoring it, I guess? You know, you're a contracted player at the club, and what they do in the coaching space is beyond your control. But do you stay in touch with what's going on at the club?
Yeah, no, I always stay in touch. You know, obviously, really love it there. So, obviously want to know who the coach is. But, you know, obviously we love playing under Trent Barrett, the last few years, he's been, you know, great role model for, you know, both of us, and we've really learned a lot playing under him. Yeah, obviously exciting for someone else coming in.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? The players keep saying, they're almost asking the media, saying, do you know anything yet? Because they expect that we're going to find out, I guess, before the players. And DCE said, you know, even as the captain, that he feels like he's in the dark about this. Is that tough to feel like, as a playing group, you're sitting and waiting in the same timeline as the rest of us?
Yeah, I guess it is, you know. It's a little bit scary, honestly, when you don't know what's happening. And, you know, the last few years, as I said before, really enjoyed playing under Barrows, and I think the whole playing group has. So when, you know, you've got a good thing and it sort of comes to an end, it's hard, especially when, you know, you don't know what's happening. So I guess whatever decision they'll make the right one, and hopefully, yeah, we can have a better year next year.
Very, very well straight batted, Jake. That's some good forward defence there, mate. Before we let you go, Jake, who's the roommate on tour?
We've actually got our own rooms. Over in PNG, I had Daly, so had me Manly and Prime Minister's captain. But, yeah, now we've got our own room for the tour. So, yeah, You get a bit lonely sometimes.
Like a true brother.
I'm sure if you go and knock on Tom or Daly's door, they'll come and spend some time with you in case you get too lonely. Jake Trbojevic, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck for the test match this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And the team has been announced by Mal Meninga, Abby. Jake has been named on the bench alongside Ben Hunt, Tyson Brazil, and Aaron Woods. And his brother Tom has been named in the centres alongside Latrell Mitchell. Four first-timers in this test squad, with Luke Keary, James Tedesco, both getting their first starts, as well as Damien Cook.
It's definitely a new look, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very new look. And as we spoke to him about that test match against Tonga in a week's time, is just mouth-watering, because that Tongan side that they've named is a fantastic one. Coming up very shortly, Sam Kerr, the superstar footballer, the first-ever marquee women's player, has got another individual award we need to talk about. That's up next. The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
Hey! Think you're struggling to get home in traffic? Oh. This guy has to head all the way to Penrith after work. The Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Liam Flanagan here, joined in studio tonight by Channel 7's Abby Jelmy. Now, Abby, Sam Kerr, the superstar that she is. Have you ever got to do any work with Sam yet?
Not yet, but I look forward to it. And you say the word superstar, we throw that around a lot in sport, but this girl, 25 years old, absolutely deserves it.
Absolutely, 100%. We spoke to her on the show. She was actually on the show last Friday. She was in Sydney promoting an event, and I asked her about the success she's already achieved as a footballer.
I want to win a World Cup. I want to win an Olympics. I want to win a W League. So for me, it's just lifting a trophy at the end of the season.
You'd be swapping all the individual awards for a few more team accolades?
I'd swap them all for a World Cup trophy.
Yeah, Liam, that's pretty easy to say when you've been the W League Player of the Year, the NWSL Golden Boot Player of the Year, as well as the Asian Player of the Year. She's got so many individual accolades, she couldn't lug them around.
Yeah, and she's got an ESPY as well, which is one of the few Australians to have ever won one of those. But she might have another trophy to add to this. For the first time ever, FIFA has introduced a female Ballon d'Or, which is the award that goes to the best player in world football, basically. Now, they've been doing the men's one for years.
And you think of players like Ronaldo and Messi, who have won, again, a bag worth, but you associate the word Ballon d'Or with the greatest players of the world game in the world.
Absolutely. Now, we all got so excited when the FFA introduced the first ever marquee female player in Sam Kerr. And now we have an actual opportunity that a Ballon d'Or winner might be playing in Australia.
And be an Aussie.
And be an Aussie.
I mean, let's be honest. We'll take it. And she's one of 15 nominees. How good. Like, put her on every box of cereal country.
Not yet.
No, she's not a superstar.
She needs to win the Ballon d'Or.
Oh, yeah. She hasn't done enough yet.
Then she can be on a box of Nutri-Grain or whatever. But we did speak to her last week on the show, and she said she was willing to hand back all of those individual honours. But I would imagine that there are men's players who openly speak about the fact they want to be crowned the world's best player. They want to win the Ballon d'Or. I would imagine this is one individual award that, should she win it, would be taking pride of place on the mantelpiece.
And I think footballers, in terms of soccer players, more than any other code, tend to be able to beat their chest and go, I want to be the best. Mm. And there's something attractive about that as players, because you just kind of go, no, we like the fact you're a bit flashy and you have the flashy cars. Mm. While she's so obviously down to earth, as you would see in every chat she has, I think there'd be something great if she got this nod. It'd be unbelievable.
Well, we'll find out on December 3rd if she is successful in this one. But congratulations to Sam for being one of the 15 finalists for the first ever women's Ballon d'Or. Speaking of flashy athletes, Abby, up next we're going to talk about Nick Kyrgios. He's tanked another game.
Oh, God.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the Catch Up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Liam Flanagan here, joined in studio this evening by Channel 7's Abby Jelmy, a part of the cricket and racing coverage. You'd be quite busy at the moment, Abby, with the women's cricket already starting and the spring carnival in full swing.
It's been a very busy couple of weeks. I think we did, I did Brownlow into three interstate cricket games, and then also two race meets I've done. So it's been hectic but fun.
But the reason I ask is because you are taking on the Rush Hour with MG's Black Book Challenge, where you are going to deliver the biggest contact you have in your list of contacts. And you've already ruled out that you won't be calling your grandfather Herb Elliott, one of Australia's greatest ever Olympians.
Yep.
Have you got anybody else that we might possibly have on the show, or anyone else you've rejected as an option?
Journos keep their contacts pretty close to their chest. I think this is a bit cheeky, to be completely honest. I was thinking, what, it's Everest week, and we're talking about Everest, and Sam Frost is a friend, and she's...
former bachelorette.
And she's divine, so she's also the New South Wales Racing Ambassador. She might be interesting, but saw her on morning TV this morning, Liam, so she might be having a nap.
Okay, so you've said no to Herb Elliott and Sam Frost, whoever you are going to deliver at the end of the show for us. Bit of pressure. Speaking of pressure, Nick Kyrgios seemingly doesn't feel any.
He's not in my contact list, I can tell you that much.
Oh, I would love to chat to Nick Kyrgios. He has tanked or put in less than an ideal effort at the Shanghai Masters. He has gone out in the first round to Bradley Klan, who's currently ranked number 93 in the world. Here's a bit of the commentary from Nick's match.
The level of effort that Kyrgios has been giving in the last 15, 20 minutes of this match. And that is less than impressive from Nick Kyrgios.
So that was the moment where he basically just walked off the court.
It's just Groundhog Day. Like, I've covered a lot of sport, and as you know, did sport news for years. We have had this discussion about Nick Kyrgios for what feels like the better part of half a decade.
I'm a fan.
I don't understand. I love sport because it is people going as hard as they possibly can, representing themselves, representing their coaches. And I understand that tennis more than other sports, I guess swimming's another one, where it's so individual that sometimes the weight of the world's on your shoulders and everything else. But nah, try harder. Try harder, mate.
Well, that's exactly what the umpire, chair umpire Damien Demoiseau, I think that's how it's pronounced, was saying to Nick during the game. Here's a bit of the conversation between Nick and the chair umpire.
Last point was really borderline.
What? I don't care, bro.
What? Yeah, I know.
But just
what can you do? Look at the score.
No.
I don't care.
I just imagine if I walked in here and Liam, you're like, all right, Abby, welcome, you know, be part of it. You started rolling and I went, sorry, bro, don't care, bro.
Yeah, you're right. That would be tough. It'd make it a very difficult show.
It would be
show.
Very tough, but it's also your workplace. And he still gets his fee for appearing, and I understand all of that, but I don't know. Someone like Sam Gross, who you had on yesterday. Is such an impressive athlete, because they just try, and Leighton Hewitt tries, and it's that Aussie, you never give up, why you want to watch tennis. And I just think the next generation of young kids coming through are watching guys that really don't care.
Well, look, the more he does this, the more he tanks. And again, he is a player with the talent to win a Grand Slam.
Yeah.
He's been passed by Alex Dimonor, who's now the 19-year-old, who's now the number one ranked Australian male.
And that speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Because he is an effort player. But he lost to a player ranked 93 in the world who qualified into the Shanghai Masters. But it's getting harder and harder to defend him. But yesterday we had a conversation with Sam Groth, who was on the show yesterday, a former tennis player, the fastest serve in the history of tennis. Here's him explaining his stance on Nick Kyrgios.
I can't justify tanking. I mean, I never did it, and I don't think there's any space for it. But at the same time, I think people forget that, you know, it's an individual sport where, as much as we all feel like Nick Kyrgios is playing for us, he's playing for himself, and when he comes out and plays Davis Cup or a team event for Australia, I expect him to give everything. The rest of the time, I mean, it's an entertainment business. Sport is an entertainment business, and people want to watch it.
I don't know. I watch reality TV for entertainment. I do that sort of thing, and I'll admit that. But I think with sport, the entertaining part is seeing people go for broke. Like, I want you to think this is the last time you might ever play tennis. Because there are some people that would die for the opportunity, and he's literally saying with a mic, don't care, bro.
So what to use your reality TV analogy, what I'll say there is that when Nick puts in performances like this, it's just like bad reality TV.
But as a spectator for a tennis match, I don't go to watch TV. I go to watch an athlete.
You go to be entertained, Abby.
Oh, God.
It's the Rush
you
Hour.
Can stay a fan. I'm out.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and a very unimpressed Abby Jelmy here. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M. Or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
I just count money, that's all I do. I count my millions.
The Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Liam Flanagan here, joined in studio by Channel 7's Abby Jelmy, part of the cricket and racing coverage. And speaking of racing, we covered it off the top. The Everest, the barrier draw has taken place. Abby, it took place earlier today. It's still being held in secret. No one knows where these horses are jumping from. Betting has been suspended on the event. And as far as we know, the barrier draw, the exact time that it will be projected onto the sales of the Opera House is to be determined, because there's a protest planned, there's people going down there with torches and iPhones looking to disrupt the barrier draw broadcast, so we're still waiting on this one.
The story is different with every media outlet. Some are saying that it's not even going to go ahead, others are saying it's happening at 7:30 instead of 8 o'clock. If I'm a trainer, I'd be going, just tell me where my horse is jumping, please.
Well, you work on the racing coverage, yep. So just explain, this is a 1,200-metre sprint race, just for the people that might not be completely across horse racing, the importance of the barrier in a race like this one.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a bit of a different one as well. So there's 12 horses that run in this race, but unlike the Melbourne Cup, there's no qualification. It's you buy a slot, and there are slot owners, and it's $600,000 per year per slot. So this is enormous money, and people nominate horses. And over 1,200 metres, if you have a barrier, can be more important, because say in something like the Melbourne Cup, which is longer distance, if you're planning to sit back, you can slide back into that position. Whereas at Randwick, over, you know, the 1,200, the barrier can be really important for particular horses. So it certainly could sway betting in some cases, particularly if the track's going to be heavy, or what's going to happen in terms of those conditions as well. It can be really important.
So the opportunity, as you say, it's pay-to-play situation, $600,000 a slot, 12 slots.
And you have to lock those in for 3 years. So people are out of pocket enormous
money. It's $1.8 million for a three-year stint in the race.
Pocket change for you and I.
Yeah, Lee. Well, I was about to say, MG might be able to afford a slot in the race, and you and I not so much. But what that opens the door for is for the great stories and the opportunities of these owners of these horses to be a part of a $13 million race.
It's life-altering. It's just life-changing money. I think the winner takes home $8 million, and, of course, that's divided between trainers and owners. But last year, you know, the Red Zell winners were 20 people that were in a syndicate. So these people have put $20,000 towards a horse, which is still a lot of money.
Still a lot of money.
But to then be near them, I happened to be wearing red, and to see the mate, like, they were kneeling on the ground, they were crying, there was a pregnant woman that I was sure was about to give birth. Like, it was just mayhem. And for a race that was in its first year last year, at the jump, there was a roar of 40,000 people all packed at Randwick. And then, of course, Jason Derulo's singing out the back in a mosh pit. And you're going, they've created something here. And I think that this year, you know, the stories are only greater as well.
You've got a story about the horse that you'd love to see win at Trapeze Artist, but is there any semblance that this Sydney Opera House saga that we're dealing with is Racing New South Wales trying to not buy credibility but force the public to be interested in the race if they're not already?
I think the race, $13 million gets punters excited, because you'd love to dream of the idea to one day be in a syndicate where you win this. I think the Everest spoke for itself last year. I think that it's a wonderful, wonderful initiative for Sydney. Whether or not you agree with how it's got on the sales, I think that the event warrants it, and I think that it's going to be exciting. And as someone who, like, I've covered a lot of different sports over a lot of different years, when Red Zell crossed the finishing post last year was one of my favourite moments in sport that I've witnessed.
Well, Red Zell is running again, trying to go back to back in the Everest, and was one of the favourites. We put a poll up on the Rush Hour with MG's Twitter page earlier in the day, at Rush Hour Triple M. Should the Everest barrier draw be projected onto the sales of the Sydney Opera House? 27% no, said no, 43% said yes, and 30% said who cares. So.
Well, I think the thing is, it feels like a bit of a... People don't like the idea that something's being rammed down their throat, and I think it feels like that now. I think that it's a mountain out of a molehill type situation when they go, mate, it's a six-minute projection on a building. Let's just do it and not ruin things. But I don't know.
Well, we'll keep you posted if it happens in the next 15 minutes while we are still on air. But up next, Abby Jelmy, you are going to take on the Rush Hour with MG's Black Book Challenge. You've said no to Sam Frost. You've said no to Herb Elliott. Cannot wait to see who you do.
I just hope they pick up. Here's my next point.
Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M. Or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Liam Flanagan here, being joined this evening by Abby Jemley from Channel 7. Abby, we are almost out of time.
How does that hour go so quickly?
It goes quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But we still have time to do this.
The Triple M Rush Hour.
Oh.
Little Black Book.
Now, Abby, the Little Black Book challenge for the Rush Hour with MG, the challenge you've been set is to get the biggest name you have in your contacts list.
Yep.
Now, you've rolled through some during the show that you've opted not to go with. Your grandfather, Herb Elliott, the great Australian athlete, you didn't call your grandfather.
No, I'll call Pa personally after and say, sorry, I've been a bad granddaughter and haven't been in touch for a few months.
Sam Frost, the former Bachelorette, not an athlete, but still a big name.
No, she's the Everest ambassador, and of course she was busy this morning with Sunrise, so I thought she might be napping, so okay. I might leave that.
So who have you delivered us?
Someone who's a superstar in my eyes, not only as a bloke, but obviously as a footballer as well. We have Sydney Swans, Kieran Jack. Kizza, I owe you a case of beer. Thank you for picking up the phone.
Abby, if I'm your biggest name, I feel sorry for you, I care.
I'm happy to hang my hat on this. I'm happy with it.
Hey, Premiership captain of the Sydney Swans as well. Kieran, it's a strange time of year for you as a footballer. The finals are over, you're in your off-season, but the trade period has opened. It's a bit of a meat market at times. You're contracted, so you don't have to worry about it too much, but it must be a strange time of year for you as a footballer.
It's a strange couple of weeks. And what we're seeing now is contracted players are on the move too, so it's not a nice time of year when you say goodbye to a few of your close mates, and I've got a couple this year, and you know, Dan Hannabury and Gary Rowan, who look like they could be on the move from the Swannies, so it's that's just part and parcel of the AFL game, so yeah.
No football trip for you then this year, Kieran?
Well, I'm getting married. Abby can tell you about that. She'll be there. I'm getting married, next month. But we're actually going to Thailand next week just for a relaxing time, 10 days, get some sun before the stress of that hits us.
Also, no fake tan for the wedding, Kieran. Getting an actual tan, that's good from you.
Your
beautiful fiancée, Charlotte, who, of course, is the star of the Jacks. She is, let's be honest. We went for a walk this morning and I said, I need some questions to stitch Kieran up about the wedding, but he might not know that a groom that's been really entrenched in the process would know. And she goes, brilliant, I've got this. So, Kieran, here's a bit of a quiz.
Now, Kieran, I had nothing to do with this. I just wanted on the record.
I feel like I need to preface this by saying that Charlotte is very happy to make all the decisions. Happy wife, happy life. And
absolutely.
If you hand over the reins and they get exactly what they want, this is perfect. But Kieran, question is, what colour is the marquee that you've chosen for your wedding? Is it A, clear, B, white, C, beige?
Well, I'm not going to guess what colour beige is, so I'm just going to go white.
Well done.
Wonderful. I thought you were going to go with clear. So well done, Kiz. Perfect husband so far.
All right, one from one.
Okay.
I've made that mistake before. I actually originally thought it was clear, but I know it's white now.
Oh, good. You've been corrected. That's good. Okay. The flowers for the arrangement. This is one a lot of blokes tend to just go off into la-la land when flowers get spoken about. So if you can give me even two of the three colours that have been chosen for the flowers at your wedding.
Pink and white.
Well done.
Oh,
bang,
hold on,
bang.
Giving that.
Yeah.
Hold on.
It's blush right? Pink, blush pink, white and gold. He's nailing this.
I wouldn't be able to tell you type of flowers, Abby. I couldn't tell you.
Nor could I. So this is bloody perfect.
Very good.
And my last question, Kieran, should the band of the groom or the bride be more expensive for the wedding bands?
We actually did this today and, yeah, funnily enough, it should be the other way around, but mine was actually more expensive.
Nice.
So, Kieran, let's clarify. So your wedding ring is more expensive than Charlotte's?
Yeah, I've got a bit of an issue. I've got a couple of dislocated... I've dislocated my finger a few times, so I've had to really custom make it to get on there. So that's why the price went through the roof.
No, they're not buying that for a second.
I reckon there's black diamonds in the middle.
I was going to say,
I know Kieran well enough to know he loves razzle-dazzle.
How blinged up is this ring that you've outspent your fiancé?
I promise you it's not. I promise you, I'll send a photo to you. It's just so it fits over this knuckle, otherwise it won't be able to work. I have to get a tattoo on there or something.
Well, Kieran, if I'm still invited to the wedding after grilling you, I cannot wait. It's going to be really fun, and I really appreciate you picking up the phone. It's tough to find someone to pick up the phone now, so I appreciate
well.
It.
You've done well. The Black Book Challenge, Kieran Jack, bringing on a premiership player.
Yeah.
That's no mean feat. So, Kieran Jack, thank you for giving us some of your time on the Rush Hour with MG. We know you've contracted for another year, but as you said, it's a crazy time of year, so hopefully we see you running around in red and white next season.
All right, thanks, guys.
Abby, pretty solid work. Kieran
Thank
Jack,
you.
Premiership player with the Swans. I've got to be honest with you, though. Sam Groth delivered Leighton Hewitt yesterday. Oh. So, Kieran, probably floating around maybe the podium. Producer Charlie's telling me around the podium, Mark, but still don't have quite top
spot. I managed to name drop a lot, though.
You did, actually. Yeah. If you delivered
it. Which just makes me a terrible person.
No, it didn't. Yeah, it was outstanding having you in on the show this evening, the Rush Hour with MG. You've done a terrific job filling in. At this stage, we still do not know what's going on with the Everest barrier draw. No word yet. The protest might be going ahead as we speak, but hopefully our friend from TAB, Jared Middleton's okay.
Absolutely. Although, my one thing, you've never said Rush Hour with AG. This whole, I've tried to make this a thing and you haven't picked it up, I'm going.
Well, just like the sales of the Opera House are protected,
it's just not going to happen.
So too is the branding of the Rush Hour with MG. She's Abby, I'm Liam. Stay random, Sydney.
Tools down. That has been the Triple M Rush Hour catch-up podcast for Kennards Hire. They've got what it takes to make your job easy. Kennards.com.au.